Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The gospel reading again from the third chapter of St. Matthew. The appearance of John the Baptist as he prepares the way for the coming of the Christ. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is God's word. Please be seated. All right, so wouldn't you have loved to have John's job? I mean, James Bond, Agent 007, had the license to kill with weapons or whatever else he had at his disposal. But John the Baptist apparently has the license to kill with his words, to thunder judgment upon the undeserving, to spear his listeners with lightning bolts of condemnation. Doesn't that sound like a great job? And the benefits, locusts and wild honey and an awesome wardrobe. I know in polite company we would all say that it's difficult for us to speak judgment upon someone else. But really, don't we all take secret delight in doing just that? I would trade in my vestments in a second for some camel hair and even for a taste of some honey-dipped grasshopper if I could just cast off all restraint and say to a group of people like you, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then still get a paycheck from you. Oh, it's so satisfying to be the righteous one while you're telling all those sinners around you to repent. Judging others makes us feel so much better about ourselves. And of course, it's also the way we like to show God how righteous and how good we are, by pointing to all the people around us and, "Well, look at their sins. And pretty good. I'm pretty good by comparison." But today, all of us stand on the receiving end of this hellfire and brimstone preaching. It is John who is wagging the finger at all of us, and well, we deserve it, especially at this time of year. Oh, we've all bought into this world's idea that love is measured somehow by the quality or by the quantity of the gifts that we stack up under our Christmas trees. All year long, we're basically selfish and not aware of the needs of those around us. But then we have this little spasm of generosity during the holiday season, and we feel like we've atoned for ourselves somehow. It's that time of year when we sing, "No more let sin and sorrow grow." But we do. We allow sin to grow in our lives. When we allow grudges to fester, when we permit a relationship to disintegrate even further without trying to rescue it, when we let old habits have their way with us unchecked. It is that season of the year, more than any other, that points out the gap between what we say we believe and what we actually do, which is why all of us need John the Baptist wagging his finger in our faces now more than ever. He is the voice of God's law, showing us our sins, calling us to bear the fruits of repentance in our lives, because repentance is absolutely essential to our journey of faith in Christ. It is absolutely essential in getting ready to celebrate a truly blessed Christmas. God is coming. And we all have some house cleaning to do to get ready. And most especially, I suppose, we need to come clean about this tendency of self-righteousness that we have, by which we so quickly condemn the sins of others while ignoring our own. Oh, but we all love to do it, don't we? I mean, what would Christmas be if we didn't raise the traditional complaint about those charlatan Christians who worship on Christmas and Easter, and that's it? Oh, we love to come down on them. Of course, never mind that my more frequent attendance at God's house has not done much of anything to produce the fruit of repentance in my life. But hey, at least I'm in church! And what would Christmas be if we didn't thunder against the materialism and the commercialism of this season? You preach it, preacher! But don't take too long, because I got to get over to Kohl's after this for some really good sales. And what would Christmas be if we didn't take a little bit of time to rail against the secular culture, always wanting to take down our Christmas trees and our nativity scenes and anything else that represents Christ? Of course, they don't have that much of a problem with us, because whatever they see in us, they apparently don't see us as representatives of Christ, so they leave us alone because we've caved in to the culture and its language and its ways and its values. For every sin that we can point out in someone else, we can point out 10 in ourselves if we would just be honest enough to do so, which most of us aren't. And that's why God sent John to wag the finger, to raise his voice in the desert, and to point out the sins of even the decent people like the Pharisees and like you and me. But then, all of a sudden, after this tirade against the sins of the people, all of a sudden John stops wagging that finger. And instead he uses the finger to point. To point the people to one who is coming after him, whose way he prepares. He points the people away from their sins, and he points them beyond the horizon to the one who is going to bear their sin. And of him, John says, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. And indeed, he's not. Because John, with all of his hellfire and brimstone preaching of judgment, he's doing only the easy part. His is only a preparatory work. But the one who comes after John has to do the real work, the hard part. Because he comes not just to wag a finger in judgment, and to cast all of those unrighteous and charlatan Christians into unquenchable fire. No, the one who comes after John is the one who is anointed by the Father to save all of us. And look at the contrast. John is out there in the wilderness. He blusters. He yells. He spits out judgments. And yet he remains out there in the wilderness, far removed from the lives of those who are streaming out to him. Jesus, on the other hand, enters into the heart of human life. Not content to condemn our sins, he must do something about our sins. For he said, I did not come to condemn this world, but to save it. And in the Jordan rivers, in the water of his baptism, he identified himself with us so completely that He becomes our stand-in, our substitute, and our representative before God, even to the point that He becomes our sin. And His work culminates not in the self-righteous satisfaction of letting those sinners have it, but Jesus' work culminates at the cross, where God the Father lets Him have it. And so His cross is the axe that chops down every pretension of self-righteousness. To all of you modern-day Pharisees who think yourselves good enough for God, the cross and the suffering of our Savior remind you how woefully short of God's glory you really have fallen. Look what it was required of Christ to do to redeem you. But at the same time, to all of you who have been cut low by the acts of God's law and who have a sense of worthlessness before God, to you His cross is raised as a tree of life and of salvation. For it is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. In either case, it is in pointing us to Jesus Christ that John truly prepares us for the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Christ, as we sang in this last hymn, is a threat to those who reject Him. But to as many as who will receive Him, the dear Christ enters in to be born in us and to inaugurate for us a new day of grace. Judgment may burn us, but grace ignites us to be something truly alive. You know, I wonder how it would go over if, rather than sending a traditional Christmas card this year, our family instead sent some John the Baptist greeting cards. Instead of those lovely scenes of festive trees and of cheerful Christmas carolers or images of the manger, we would see an unsightly man dressed in camel hair. Well, as a matter of fact, I went ahead and prepared one for you. And the card would look something like this. On the front, there's John the Baptist, all with his unmatted hair, unkempt, ugly as can be. And on the front it says, John the Baptist says, Happy Holidays. Open it up inside, the greeting. Repent, you brood of snakes. And with all of our love, we sign it the Neermans. Oh, and there's a Bible verse down there too. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Made by the Locust and Honey Greeting Card Company, I see. Ah, yeah. I wonder how this card would sell if the ladies had it back there on their table. Would you like to send this card? And maybe that's the wrong question. Oh, I can think of some people I love to send this card to. And that's the whole point, you see. That's that self-righteous tendency that we have. Let me ask it this way. How would you like to receive this card? You see, it is just as hard to hear John's message now as it was 2,000 years ago when he preached in the wilderness. But can you think of a message that we need more than his? The kingdom of God is coming. It is close at hand. It is not a time for us to mince words and leave people wondering whether they're in or out. Only the righteous will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Repent, therefore, of your unrighteousness and clothe yourself in the only righteousness that will get you in, the righteousness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through faith in Him, clothe yourself in His righteousness. And then go forth from this place. Go home to your families, your friends, your job, your schools, and produce the fruit of repentance in your life. A life lived for Jesus Christ. Oh, and thanking John the whole time for sending you the greeting that you really needed to hear, and thus preparing your heart to receive the Savior. In the name of Jesus, Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.